Many of you remember something that happened 20 years ago this summer, the summer of 1998, when everything blew up at Corpus Christi Church. I was fired, I was replaced by a new pastor, and Mary was next on the chopping block. The new pastor ordered her to take off her vestments and get off the altar. The male hierarchy was very threatened by her female presence on the altar. We used to joke about it. They were so threatened that we used to say, "Put down the stole and back away from the altar and everybody will be okay." It was so threatening. Well, to make matters worse, Mary delivered her famous "Why I Won't Take Off My Stole" homily. And she made it clear that wearing liturgical vestments on the altar and being there on the altar was not about a personal ambition of her own. It was a justice issue for women. Mary said, "To be stripped of my vestments by a male clergy and removed from the altar would give the wrong message to women. It would say that women were unclean and unworthy to be in this holy place." Not surprising, as a result, she was fired immediately. She was an associate pastor for 15 years, and now she's gone, nothing. She gave her whole life to the church, and now the church rejected her. So for the first time, she could feel a little bit what it must be like for the LGBTQ community, or divorced people, or anybody else that has been rejected by the church. She felt that because she was rejected. We began calling Mary the Rosa Parks of the Catholic women's movement. I love what Dr. King said. Why didn't Rosa Parks give up her seat on the bus? Was she tired that day? Was she in a bad mood? No. She was anchored to her seat by the accumulated indignities of days gone by and by the unbounded aspirations of generations yet unborn. And we said about Mary, we said that Mary was anchored to her place at the altar by the accumulated indignities done to women in days gone by and by the unbounded aspirations of generations of women yet to be born. So now she's out of a job, she's fired, but people ask Mary to do a different job, an unpaid job, to lead the resistance movement, because there was great resistance to this. So she led an alternative worship service over at the downtown church on Tuesday nights. About 1,000 people came every Tuesday night, and people would chant, "No more silence, no more silence," because institutions rely on silence to keep the oppressed down, and Mary was not about to be silent. It was during those Tuesday services that something happened to Mary. Everybody watched it before their eyes. She emerged and blossomed as a fantastic speaker. Fighting injustice made her clear, strong, and prophetic. Next, people asked her to be the pastor of this new community that they were forming. Now, like everything Mary does, she takes time to think about it and to pray about it. She never makes a decision without spending a lot of time praying. She decided to go to Haiti for her discernment about this request. She said, "The poor people will tell you the truth." So she went down to Haiti and rolled out her story that she got thrown out, everything is happening at Corpus Christi. And the priest there, Father Mesidor, said, "Look, Mary, I'm sorry you have to go through this. I know it's like being on the cross. But just remember, after the cross comes the resurrection, and that will happen to you." Ferdinand, the peasant farmer, said to Mary, "You act surprised that you got thrown out. That always happens when you work for justice. What are you doing down in Haiti? Get back to work. Train other people to do the same thing." So Mary came back, and she became the pastor of Spiritus Christi on Valentine's Day, 1999. In her first homily at Hochstein, from this pulpit, on Holy Thursday night, she said two things. Number one, in the spirit of Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass, whose funerals were held in this very building, "Our job is to continue their struggle for women, African Americans, and LGBTQ people, and anybody who are given a second-class treatment. So that's number one, keep their spirit going. Number two, I ask everybody to rededicate themselves to serving the poor. I ask everybody to rededicate themselves to serving the poor. Then she got down on her knees and washed the feet of 12 parishioners. For Mary, leadership has always been about service, not about clericalism, not about careerism. Reverend Myra said, Mary never allowed herself to be on a pedestal. She never thought of herself as being above anybody. You know, good leaders are actually followers. Good leaders don't draw you to themselves. They invite you to become a follower like they are in a cause that's bigger than themselves. Mary never drew people to herself, but to causes greater than herself, for the poor. For example, only 6 months after she became the leader, Spiritus Christi started Grace of God Recovery House, our first outreach. And on that occasion, Mary said, once we opened Grace of God, we were back to our roots, back to doing what we needed to do. And she said, I know our church is going to be okay because we're back to the roots. Over the next 20 years, Reverend Mary oversaw the opening of the following: the Spiritus Christi Mental Health Center for the uninsured and underinsured people opened in 2000. The scholarship program for dozens of poor students in Chiapas, Mexico began in 2001. The resettlement of 3 walking boys from Sudan happened in 2001. Jennifer House for women coming out of jail and prison opened in 2002. New Unto Others Consignment Shop to employ people with mental disabilities opened in 2006. Mary herself organized a $30,000 water project in Haiti to construct a reservoir to bring fresh water down to the village in 2006. The urban youth outreach to young incarcerated men and others at risk started in 2006. And in 2007, Mary went back to Haiti and cut the ribbon for the brand new Hope Hospital, which now serves 80,000 people, and that was in 2007. Nielsen House. Nielsen House for men coming out of jail and prison opened in 2008. The Buddy Readers to lift children out of poverty at School 58 started in 2010. Voters Block Housing Project and 1872 Cafe as a neighborhood outreach started in 2012. Raising $100,000 for the hurricane relief in Haiti was 2012. Speaking from the Heart Group to welcome and support immigrants started in 2014. Raising thousands of dollars for relief from Hurricane Harvey in Texas last year, 2017, and giving $2.5 million away across the world to the poor from our tithing funds. Not bad after 20 years, huh? Mary is a person who operates by the Spirit. She's very, very creative. She and the Holy Spirit figured out how a Catholic woman could get ordained. She figured out, with the Holy Spirit's help, how to break an unbroken, sexist, 2,000-year tradition of male-only clergy in the Catholic Church. She figured out how to do it, and 3,000 people came to her ordination. Since then, 4 other women have been ordained from our church: Denise Donato, Patty LaRosa, Hava Redene, Myra Brown, and one's in the pipeline for next year, Celie Katovich. With the help of Mimi Youngman, Mary produced the Christmas pageant year after year for the children. She helped us create the visioning board to maintain the parish vision, provide accountability for pastors, and to provide a succession plan. She helped us to become a national leader in dismantling racism. She helped form the Mother Earth community to save the environment. She helped form the Tuesday Ecumenical Mass at Emmanuel on Park Avenue to break down religious barriers. And she provided workable salaries and retirement plans for the employees of Spiritus Christi. We now have 49 employees, and as a result of her planning, allowing people to stay for a long period of time and not just come every 2 years, 8 of us on the staff have been here over 25 years, and many of us have been here over 10 years because of her planning. In closing, I think of a story that you've heard many times. Two people want to apply for the same job. So one applicant comes over into the interview. The interviewer says, "Before I offer you this job, I have to ask you a question. How much is 2 plus 2? And he says, 4. Next person comes in. "Before I offer you this job, I have to ask you a question. How much is 2 plus 2? The second person said, "Whatever the boss says." And that person got the job. Are we looking for orthodoxy, or are we looking for truth? Reverend Mary never gave us orthodoxy. She gave us the truth. Actually, she is the most truthful person I know in my life. She has sacrificed approval, personal gain, career advancement, her reputation, all for the sake of truth. For the sake of integrity, for the sake of God's dream for this world, for the sake of justice, for the sake of building a piece of heaven here on earth in Rochester. Today's Psalm 116 says, "How shall I thank the Lord for all God has done for us? I know I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." So today we raise the cup. We raise the cup and we say, "Mary, we are so glad that you are not leaving us. And thank you so much, Reverend Mary, for being our teacher, our counselor, our preacher, our healer, our spiritual director, our prophet, our pastor for 20 awesome years."